The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, what would Jesus Christ's view be of elections? Not just this election. I don't think anybody could have a good view of this election, but any election. Actually, God doesn't like elections a whole lot or believe in them a whole lot. That's why when Jesus returns, he's going to set up a kingdom. What God believes in is a benevolent monarchy, or actually a malevolent monarchy. No, malevolent is the evil word. Benevolent is the bad word. Benevolent monarchy. But the problem is anybody other than Jesus Christ wouldn't qualify for that position. Human beings with their evil, with their sin, should not be in positions as kings. That's why we have republics. That's why we have elections. That's why if somebody's doing a bad job, we can overthrow them every 4 years, at least until the Supreme Court turns us into an oligarchy and we're not a republic anymore, but we won't go there. Right now, we are in the midst of an election. It changes constantly. We do these live shows and they go to my website. And if you listen to these shows off of my website, as some of you may be doing today, well, it could already be dated. But here to discuss the latest twists and the latest turns is my good friend and co-host, Mike Friedenberg.
Okay. Good evening. Thanks for having me on the show tonight, Bob.
It's good to have you.
So as we're looking at some really, really late breaking news, I'm going to mention this just in case folks have not heard it. I do watch Fox News and I actually spend some time watching MSNBC and CNN just to confirm that they haven't suddenly become objective. And I must say, report to you that as of the last watching, they're still very biased against Donald Trump.
Oh, you mean MSNBC isn't fair and balanced?
No, they're not fair and balanced. And CNN, likewise. So just the late breaking news on that is they're both still anti-Trump.
You know, even Fox isn't always that fair and balanced. They'll have like five conservatives against one liberal. But still, I think you hear both sides more with them than anybody else.
Well, if you talk about Fox, there's a number of their anchors that are
liberal.
Liberal.
Yeah, Shepard Smith is very liberal.
And
Megyn Kelly.
And there's a number of other ones that you can tell by the guests they choose. Yeah. And however, even those folks are way better than most of the people on MSNBC or CNN.
Yeah, like Megyn Kelly is as liberal as I'll get out, but she will give it to liberals and conservatives equally. You don't see that on the other
side. I've seen her take Black Lives Matter to task,
yes,
which I very much appreciated. So we'll say that. But with that said, one of the big breaking news stories is Doug Schoen, who is probably the top Fox contributor, analyst, political analyst, the loyal Democrat opposition that's on there. He basically announced within the last hour or so that he will not be voting for Hillary Clinton based upon the threat of a constitutional crisis. Doesn't mean he's voting for Donald Trump, but that he will not be voting for Hillary Clinton. So that was...
Now, why don't you explain to our audience what the ingredients would be of a constitutional crisis?
Well, the constitutional crisis would be if somehow, which by the way, we'll talk about this a little bit later, if Hillary Clinton were to win, very low probability right now, in my opinion, but if she were to win, then we have a criminal investigation, a felony criminal investigation going on. And if that were to produce an indictment, we'd have a sitting president under indictment for violating national security policy.
But how would that happen when the Justice Department would be under her direction?
Who would still be here?
I know the Republican Senate and House
something. Then that would be the case. We would have a situation with the sitting president and the FBI moving down an investigation. And The Republicans following it very closely, trying to monitor to make sure that it stays fair and balanced. So that would that. But
kind of like what we've already had with the Obama administration refusing to prosecute Hillary, and telling the FBI what to do.
The point being, though, is that there's enough information out there, and there's enough FBI agents, and we can discuss this in a little bit here. But there's enough career FBI agents that have tremendous pride in what has been a fine American institution, that even with Clinton coming in there, that they would not be staying quiet about what was going on. It would be a disaster for the Republic.
Right. Now, there have been a lot of theories as to why Comey changed his tune, and that's the one that you think has the most credibility, that there was actually a revolt going on within the FBI ranks itself?
Yeah, let's think about this, okay? They get this laptop with, now they're saying some, and how you got to this number, I don't know, 650,000 emails. They did a metadata search on it, which means they did a search through all the emails.
Oh, that's more than the 30,000 Hillary never turned over.
650,000. I mean, I honestly don't know where you get that number of emails from. And they did a metadata search, and they came up with enough information to point to that Hillary was involved on those emails, and there potentially could be some problems from a national security and sensitive information test. However, that's just metadata. They have not gone through all the emails yet, Director Comey could have advanced the narrative. Hey, we saw stuff that said warranted starting an investigation up again, but not enough. I mean, in our past investigation showed that there were some problems before, but we couldn't show criminal intent. And in this short a period of time, in the next 8 to 9 days, we could not show criminal intent. So we decided not to release the emails. He could have gone that route, but he didn't. So what would force him? There was nothing. From the external pressure wouldn't have forced him. He's already ignored that.
Well, they haven't released the emails. Emails are just in their custody.
But they're in their custody. But that's right. They're in his custody. So he could easily have made the case. I was going to take as long as it takes to analyze these emails in detail to find out if there really was criminal intent. Because remember what I told you before, American public, is there was no criminal intent. I could not show that. So unless those emails can show criminal intent, then we are where we were before.
No, and if he had waited till after the election, he would have been accused by the Republicans of suppressing election results by withholding. Now he's accused of suppressing election results by revealing.
He wouldn't care about that
accusation. He was going to get in trouble no matter what. He might as well just do his job.
I don't agree with that, actually. He would have been the hero by waiting until after the election. Think about who's good.
Amongst the liberals.
Well, who dominates the press?
Yeah, the liberal
press. Okay, so they would have given him the hero. The Republicans could hold press conferences that would not be covered by the media.
Okay,
right?
So your understanding is that some FBI agents came out and said, we've got some stuff.
There is reports.
On our investigation showing how shallow it was, how deliberately set up it was. And if you don't come forward and pursue this, we're going to hold a press conference and show what really happened.
So now that changes the dynamic completely. Before, he could have gotten away with it, and it could have just stonewalled until after the election was done. Now, with these FBI agents going to come out and basically highlight just how flawed the initial investigation is, how wrong his original conclusions were to not indict Hillary or to recommend indictment to a conclusion. And then they're also going to point out that this additional information just adds more fuel to that fire.
Now, what your source for this is, that was there a news source?
There was a news source that
had an anonymous,
it had a confidential senior FBI agent saying that this was a threat.
How many different news media are picking this up?
I'm not sure of the number.
Okay.
That I heard it on Fox News from, I think it was Brett Baer.
Right.
Okay. So,
boy, I pity the FBI agents that have to go through all of Anthony Weiner's emails. How many pictures of Anthony Weiner do they have to look through while they're doing that?
I have no
idea. That's not an enviable job.
Bob, and the 650,000 emails, that number is just unbelievable. I mean, that starts to make you think that he was harvesting emails, possibly, maybe, because this is just an off-the-top theory, that possibly because he knew that he might need to have some leverage to...
But what would have been his wife's motive for sending emails completely unrelated to him,
Anthony Weiner may have had access to her laptop and done something himself.
Oh, that's interesting.
And who knows? We don't know.
Because I don't think he and Uma were getting along too well these last few years. I don't know how motivated she would have been to give him top secret information.
But we do know that there was something substantive in there that was the straw that broke the camel's back with these career FBI agents. They basically knew that there was enough in there to make a difference. And with and the idea that this would be once again pushed off until after the election, they weren't going to stand for it. So there was the threat of a press conference. Now, this is not confirmed. This is, you know, one, as far as I know right now, one anonymous source. So take it for, but from a logical perspective, it's the thing that makes the most sense.
Now, even before this, Mike, I know you were feeling pretty heartened because the polls were starting to shift Trump's direction even before this breaking news that came out on Friday.
Well, that there, the polls had been universally, I believe, tweaked with a turnout model that grossly underestimated Trump.
They were oversampling Democrats.
Well, that's part of it, because you can oversample Democrats and still compensate for it. It's a little bit more sophisticated than that. But what you do is you basically sit there and you say, and this is where it comes down to a guess. In a normal election cycle, and the pollsters have gotten pretty good at guessing. They have to sit there and say, hey, we think this is what it's on November 8th. We think this is what the turnout model is going to look like. We think there'll be this percentage of African-Americans turning out, this percentage of Latinos, this percentage of, you know, college educated. And then they have a model. And to do that, they look at past elections. Now, this election, of course, has blown everything up. So there's a very good case to be made. And I think that
all bets are off.
They were using a model from a past election, and that there was plenty of data to tell them that their model was underrepresenting Donald Trump's, support.
And then you think they did it anyway because they were hoping to discourage Trump supporters from going to the polls.
And they had the support of most of the other pollsters, so they had safety in numbers. But there was a few they were going to call them outliers, a few more accurate polls like the Investors Business Daily, the Rasmussen, the USCLA tracking polls, and some other polls that were showing some different results. And those were always there just causing enough for them to be a little bit nervous about what they were doing. So, but as you're getting closer to the election, they were going to start incorporating a little bit more accurate turnout model each and every day, so that by the time the election rolled around, they would look pretty good.
Yeah, because it seemed that even some of these polls that you think were sampling inaccurately were starting to still microscopically get better for
Trump. Take a look at ABC News poll. Just under about a week and a half ago, it's showing Trump down 12 points. Now, common sense, and by the way, so many alleged Republican analysts that are sort of like Larry Sabato, and
is Carl Rove, a Republican analyst?
Well, actually, he's a liberal.
He's
Democrat.
A Fox News.
He's
analyst,
a Fox News. He, Fox yeah. News. But Carl Rove, who's a Republican analyst, mm-hmm. basically were actually talking about this poll as if it had credibility. Well, lo and behold, a few days later, it's down to 9 points. Then we find it down to 6. Then we find it down to 4. Then 2. Then 1. So today, it's at 1 point. There's no events that have occurred that could account for a 12-point. An 11-point shift, let's put it that way.
Okay.
So that was ludicrous.
More polls, more projections, more discussion of the election when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. WisdomWorks Christian Preschool.
Just a little over a week from probably the strangest election in American history. There might be a stranger one, but none comes to my mind. Here to talk about it with me, my good friend and co-host, Mike Friedenberg.
So back to the polling, before we get too far down in the weeds and discussing why you might do some oversampling, let's just talk about some high-level things that are very encouraging. Now, New York Times, everybody knows, has been doing hit jobs, and they've been proven to be hit jobs on Donald Trump. The story that they did, you know, in the Republican primary, you know, trashing him with women. It turned out that they didn't vet the women. They were so eager to get something negative on him.
Their editors finally come out and admitted that they're working against Trump and without any apology.
Okay. So I believe that they finally did an accurate poll because they're trying to save the tattered remnants of their respectability for the election cycle. And the poll came out, was released today, showing Trump up by 4 points in Florida.
And just a week ago, they said he was behind Hillary in Florida.
Now, there's been other polls showing him ahead in Florida as well, some showing within a couple points. It's now considered by Real Clear Politics average to be dead even.
Now, there's one that's considered the most accurate one. What's that called again? It's not the Investor's
poll. It's Investor's Business Daily.
It is Investor. Okay.
And that's been the most accurate over the last three cycles collectively. Yeah. It wasn't the most accurate in 2012.
Oh, I thought it was accurate then too.
It was accurate. It was very good.
But it wasn't the most accurate. Oh,
right. So in 2012, I think it's an A minus from 538.
Yeah, where does that poll have Trump in Florida and Ohio?
Well, they haven't been get. They are only national.
And right now, Mike, these improved polls are still pre the breaking news on Friday.
None of these polls incorporate that data.
Yeah, and so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's tomorrow or the next day.
So back to Florida. I've been actually downloading data from the actual directly from the division, the Bureau of Elections in Florida. And here's the pattern that you're normally going to see. And this pattern is pretty similar across all states. The pattern is you open up early voting, absentee voting. And Republicans usually do a little better on absentee voting or significantly better than Democrats. But then what will happen is that you'll start doing the walk-in early voting, and the Democrats will typically significantly outperform the Republicans on the walk-in early voting. And in Florida, what happened in 2012 is the Republicans were ahead on absentee ballot votings. They opened up the early walk-in voting, and by the time the early voting was over, which included walk-in voting and absentee, Obama had a significant lead on Romney. Well, this time what's happened is the Republicans were ahead in the absentee voting, and then they opened up the early voting walk-in. Well, what's happened is that the Republicans have maintained their lead and actually are still, yesterday they were ahead. They had gained 1 point. They were ahead 1.7%. Today they're ahead 1.6%.
These are votes that have already been cast.
These are votes. These are Republican votes.
These aren't polls.
And Democrat votes that have been cast.
Do they count votes before election day, or do they do a many Republicans showed up to the polls?
Well, what they're doing is they're saying how many Republicans turned in their vote, in their ballot,
right,
and how many Democrats.
They're assuming that the Republicans will vote for Trump.
Step further, because then we could take that Republican turn in, right, and take the Democrat turn in, and then take the independent turn in, and we can look at polls and say, what if we assume that the early vote looks the same as what the polls say in terms of turnout and who's going to vote for who. What we find out is Trump's ahead by about 100,000 votes. If we were to say that, 83% of Republicans are supporting Trump, 82% of Democrats or 83% are supporting Hillary, X percent of independents are supporting Trump, X percent of, and you look down the line, you can come up with the analysis that shows Trump ahead by 100,000 votes. That's conservative. Well, what's very interesting is that I've been looking at these stats forever, both at North Carolina and Florida, doing the heavy-duty number crunching, looking at it rather than just blabbing general out. And finally, somebody came on this morning, a senior analyst for the Trump campaign, a guy by the name of Jason Miller, and he finally got down into the numbers because I was getting frustrated thinking, okay, I It takes a little time, but you would think with all the resources of campaigns and news organizations, somebody would have reported this because the numbers are there. It's not, you know, we're not talking sophisticated, you know, analysis. You know, you run the reports on your database, you pull the data, you run the reports, you do the math, and you can see where we are. And it's the same thing with North Carolina. North Carolina very nicely has both the 2012 returns and all the returns up to the day before for 2016. And I've been running those numbers, and Trump's running 4 points ahead of where Romney is running in 2012. So this idea that Trump is this, you know, this horrible candidate that, you know, is completely blown out of the water, and we're starting to see Republicans looking really good in down ticket. So back to Florida, though, is this model shows Trump winning in Florida. And one of the things that Jason Miller probably got more data than I did on this, but he said that Republicans are running 100,000 votes ahead of where they were last year in early voting. 100,000 where they were in 2012 with Romney. So if they're running 100,000 votes ahead, and here's the other thing that's happened, is that the false media narrative said, oh, well, you know, Trump can't win because even Republicans aren't voting for him. Well, the last week, we've seen Republicans coming home hugely. And right now, most polls show the percentage of Republicans supporting Donald Trump is very similar to the percentage of Democrats supporting Hillary Clinton. In fact, in the poll from New York Times today, 8% of Democrats are voting for Donald Trump. 7% of Republicans are voting for Hillary Clinton. What's very interesting, and this is not, you're not going to hear in the media as well, and I've seen this multiple polls now, is that Trump has over double the support of African-Americans in Florida than Romney had.
I have heard African-American leaders come out and say that on the air, and yeah, people are not listening
now,
to them.
Now, I'm going to say that Trump, now in Florida, and it doesn't take much. I mean, it's pretty pitiful. In Florida, Romney only got 5% of the black vote in 2012. That is absolutely pitiful. So doubling that to 10 to 11%, okay, that's still significant. Okay, but
well, Romney belongs to a religion, Mormonism, which used to teach that black people could.
Yeah, exactly. They had a revelation.
I know
of God.
He disavowed that, but he did belong to that religion.
Yes. Yeah. That might not have helped him. So then you also, but what's even more significant is that multiple of those now show Trump exceeding Romney's performance with Hispanic and Latino voters. For example, Florida, multiple polls have showed his support at anywhere from 38 to 45% among Latinos. Now, in Florida, it's a little bit more complicated because you have the Cuban vote, and people say, well, it's just the Cubans, and the Cubans are conservative, and they're not typical of your typical Latino vote. Well, one of the polls that was done broke votes down by non-Cuban Hispanics and Cuban Hispanics. And in the non-Cuban Hispanics, he was still getting 38%.
No kidding.
And then there was...
He's been telling us for a long time that he's doing well with Hispanics, and nobody's been believing
him. Well, there's a good case to be made. He hasn't run the best campaign to pick up Hispanic votes. But what I believe it is Hispanic voters who have been willing to vote Republican in the past are pretty educated, pretty knowledge. They understand that when you have a mass influx of illegal aliens, it depresses wages. They understand all the issues
American
understands.
The ones that are here legally may just believe that others should come here legally too. It's kind of racist to assume that all Hispanics are going to vote the same way.
Hispanic Americans, many of them are plain old Americans that think the same way that everybody
else
does.
And the Hispanic culture has very traditional values. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's latest novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Well, Mike, you've done several of these pre-election shows with me. I know that both of us have gone back and forth as to how optimistic or pessimistic we were about Trump winning. It sounds like you're maybe barring Trump shooting himself in the foot again, which is always a possibility. It sounds like barring something like that, you're ready to call this for Trump.
I am going to go out on the limb and call this for Trump. Now, and by the way, I'm going to say something that Trump has shot himself in the foot so many times that each time he shoots himself in the foot, the impact on the election becomes less and less.
Because people are just going, that's Trump.
That's Trump.
It's like Joe Biden saying stupid things. People shrug their shoulders and go, well, that's Joe.
And the other thing I'm going to say is, Trump has run as who he is. He's not been running like a professional politician who polls everything before he says it and looks at the focus groups. So a number of times when he shot himself in the foot, it's basically we're so used to a standard where everybody's so frightened to make a mistake.
It was just him thinking out loud without
out
a
loud,
filter,
right.
Going back and forth. And he's been very misrepresented.
Well, and you know, for example, his comment about Mexicans. He didn't mean all Mexicans.
People that want to get here illegally.
Right.
That's all. And he never called all Mexicans.
Nonsense. He never did that, but it was a very poorly worded statement that opened him up to criticism. So with that said there, before I predict how we're going to get to 270 plus with Trump, I want to just mention one thing about, you talked about the oversampling. One of the things that happens in these live polls, live interview polls, they're very expensive to do. Right now, they're getting about a 10% response rate. That means in order to get one live interview, they're having to call 10 people. It's very expensive. So one of the things that these pollsters do is they try to figure out the smallest number of people they can call to get a statistically valid sample. And when you're talking about subgroups, let's say you're going to do a poll of 500, but you want to have a valid understanding of what African-Americans are thinking. So you've got to get, let's say, 50 African-Americans. So what could happen with oversampling is you oversample Democrats, then they may be using some of those oversampled Democrats to beef up their statistics in African-Americans or Latinos. Now, I don't know if that's what's happening, but that could be a reason why oversampling could really bias poll results. But let's go and just take a look at a map here. And what I'm going to be looking at here is the SurveyMonkey.com. SurveyMonkey is a very nice site. They do a massive online poll. I can't testify to its accuracy because it still does matter somewhat upon its turnout model. But it's the best interactive map I've seen. And right now they sort of buy into the it's inevitable Clinton victory type mode, and they're showing on their map 307 Clinton, Trump 188. Now that's moved up in the last couple of days from 179 for Trump to 188, so that's nice. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at some of the swing states, some of the battleground states, and see if we can, you know, get Trump to 270. First of all, look at Florida.
You know, you're starting to look like Karl Rove. All you need is your whiteboard here.
Yes, exactly. Well, if I had this, if we were on TV, we could easily nicely do this.
Let me just promise my audience, Dick Morris went out on a limb with Karl Rove. Dick Morris even more so saying that Romney would win. And when that didn't happen, he was fired from Fox News. Mike, if you are wrong, you will always still be welcome on the Bob Siegel Show. I will not fire
Thank you, Bob.
I want to say that in front of my audience.
I am
But I hope to God you're right. Never even have to.
So let's look at the big one. This is a must win. And of all the narrative, it's been an absolutely false media narrative. 91% of stories are false, according to the Media Research Center. 91% are negative about Trump. So in this blizzard of negativity, it's been hard to find positive nuggets, unless you work really hard. But Florida. Trump needs Florida. And right now, I'd say the polling and the early voter turnout favors Trump. So I'm going to take this blue state, leaning blue state.
Do they have Florida leaning blue? I thought they had Florida in toss-up.
Kevin. No, they have it. Well,
they have it leaning blue.
Leaning
now.
Blue, but it's only light blue.
Light blue.
And I'm going to turn
it's only that light sissy blue.
I'm going to turn it to red.
Okay. Not pink, red.
Red. Now, Georgia. Georgia, the Democrat
registration has been red, but they're saying
they're giving it a toss-up status. It has a 44% Democrat registration to a 45% Democrat registration. Trump is going to get Democrat voters. He's going to get the independents. I'm giving this solid red. Georgia, red.
Okay.
Now, North Carolina. Now
that's one of the ones where a lot of polls are still saying.
The polls are mixed. But that it's trending. It's trending Trump, and we need it.
What has been the problem with North Carolina? They've traditionally been red also. Why has that been so?
Well, they've not been red for the last—
Under Obama.
Right, Obama. Well, actually, Romney won it in 2012.
But did Obama get it in 2008?
Obama got it in 2008. Okay. And it's one of those states that, frankly, it is 48% Democrat, 43% Republican. And it's one of those states that's been hit hard by manufacturing jobs. And frankly, Republicans have said, we don't give a hoot about the working class for the last 20 years, not since Reagan. So Trump has clearly demonstrated he cares about that.
He has brought in a whole new demographic.
So I'm giving this to Trump now. And I'm looking, and as I said, the data shows that Trump is doing better than Romney was in 2012. And Romney only lost by 0.9%. He actually won by 0.9 points in 2012. So I'm going to give it to Trump this time. Okay. So Trump. Okay. Virginia, I'm going to keep. I can't build a strong enough case to give that to Trump at this point, though it may be in play. Ohio has looked very good for Donald Trump.
That's looked. I mean, even some of these outlier polls have been giving Ohio to Trump.
And a lot of
that's another one of the must wins for Republicans.
And even some of the automatic polling things, which I think are a little bit biased, have shown, 44% chance for Hillary to win it, 56% chance for Trump to win it. So I'm going to go Trump. Here we go. Now, Iowa. Iowa is pink for Trump. I'm going pink. I'm going solid red. It's going to definitely go Trump.
So you're taking it from medium rare to rare. Okay.
All right. And Pennsylvania. Now here's the big one.
That's been an interesting one back and forth.
Now here's the thing is the Republican vote's coming home. It's a 47% Democrat versus 42. That's a 5% registration. But Luzerne County, L-U-Z-E-R-N-E, Luzerne County has been for the last 8 elections, I believe, has been the county that accurately predicts how Pennsylvania is going to go as a whole. It's one of those bellwether counties, overwhelmingly Trump right now, blowing away Clinton. So we'll continue, but let's continue with the Pennsylvania now. It's a little more complicated than that when we come back.
Okay, some better news this week. Well, better news if you're rooting for Trump. Real bad news if you're not. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching of nationally famous speaker, Pastor Jim Garlow. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings, I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Talk today. The Cubs are doing okay in the World Series, too. We probably shouldn't overpress our look and link Trump to the Cubs too much, though. That might be going to the well a little once too often.
Fully concur, but it seems like with the Cubs.
Wouldn't that be funny if he won and the Cubs won in the same year?
It would be very interesting. The Cubs are up 3-1
right now.
America,
as we've known it, would never be the same again.
So we may see another game. If the Cubs don't win tonight, then it's over. The Cleveland Indians, who are the team, I believe, that had the second longest drought of winning a World Series, would win. So it's the second longest drought versus the first longest drought.
But I want to be clear, Mike, if the Cubs don't pull it out, you're not saying that's a bad omen for Trump.
Absolutely not.
Okay. I want to be clear on that.
So back to Pennsylvania, Luzerne County, spoke to the head of polling for Remington Research on this, and he said that he pointed out that Trump was still winning in Luzerne County, but that some of the more suburban districts showed a bigger differential than they have in the past against Trump. And this was a while back, but we're starting to see that shift back. So Luzerne County is coming back, is definitely solid Trump. And I think that the other rest of the state is starting to come back in line there. So, and it's such a Trump's message, populist message is just so well suited for Pennsylvania. I'm going to give Trump Pennsylvania. And it's a bit of a, all right, my heavens. They just did something to me where they automatically switched it for me.
Oh, you're looking at this data live and it just got switched?
Yes.
For the better or the worse?
Well, no, what they did is I was on their site and they basically just said, hey, do you want to sign up? To get the pro.
Oh,
the
so pro version. You got that pop-up.
Yes.
It took
me out of the...
I'd like to do a whole radio show on how much I hate pop-up with a passion.
So, but I'm back here. So basically, that gets us to 268 versus 243. So we're two votes away from having Trump win the election. So where can we go? Now, I'm not going to give Minnesota to Trump right now. But it's showing a solid blue. I'm going to flip it to undecided. And the reason I'm going to do that is just that it's a piece of data that is very interesting. Congressional District 8 in Minnesota, a district held by a Democrat. Competitive race between a Democrat and a Republican in that district. Republican was just recently shown to be 4 points up in that race. 4 points up. Well, very interesting. That's great for the Republican candidate there. I'm very happy for him and great. And it's a district that's pretty heavily leans Democrat. In that same poll, it showed Trump winning 47% to 35% among the voters in that district.
Really?
12 points.
And that's a Democratic
district. That's a Democrat-held district.
So that could be a little...
These are the kind of stories that are not being reported.
Right.
You cannot do a Google search and find it. You have to go to another poll and find the sub... The subtotals, what you call the crosstabs in the poll to get this data.
Now, I know you don't think Trump has a chance here on the left coast in California, but do you think there's a chance that even though Hillary will win the electoral vote here, he'll poll a lot better in California than we had expected?
I think he'll possibly do that. We'll see. To be honest, I haven't spent a lot of time on that because...
Well, nobody, yeah. People are just assuming.
Because it just hasn't really factored into California is going to go...
Well, we have liberal pundits taking Texas and turning it from red to pink. Yeah. Why don't we get some conservative pundits and turn California from blue to light blue?
Yeah,
just for the heck of it.
As hard as I can work, Bob, I'm usually pretty good at. I can't do it. I just can't. I'm sorry. I cannot do it.
You can't fit a square peg in
a
hole.
No, I just can't.
Okay.
But let's take a look at ones that we can look at. Arizona, 116% increase in Obamacare premiums.
Yeah, now he's been doing bad in the polls there, but with this, so I think this Obamacare stuff.
The polls are shifting very rapidly toward Trump. I'm very comfortable with Arizona.
Can you imagine 113 increase in your
116.
Premium? 116. And anybody would even consider voting for Hillary after that?
No.
That's insanity.
It's going to go back Republican. So there's been some stuff there. Utah.
Don't we have another Republican running as an independent that's taking
votes away from
him?
We have a guy that I think his first name's Evan, but his last name, I remember his last name, it's McMuffin.
And McMuffin. And, as in Egg McMuffin?
Sure, it's McMuffin.
Are you sure? That doesn't sound too familiar.
No, he's the one who's running.
His name is actually McMuffin.
McMuffin, yes.
Okay. I didn't know his name, so.
And it's showing pink. I'm going to go ahead and give it to Trump. That doesn't really change the
You don't think Egg McMuffin's going to pull that away from Trump?
No.
Huh? Okay.
Now, I am concerned about Trump in Colorado, where they have a Republican by the name of Big Mac running. but no, I'm just kidding about it. Okay, he does. So,
isn't that the cousin of McRib?
Yeah. So, so I'm giving that there. And then Nevada, you know what? I'm going to give Nevada to Trump because it's 44% Republican, 43% Democrat. And the thing is, what's happening right now is, first of all, even before this news came out on reopening the investigation of Hillary Clinton, is Republicans were coming back solidly toward Trump. And independents are breaking solidly toward Trump. So any place where there's an even registration, or with Trump's within 2 to 3 points registration-wise, I'm saying red. So there. Now we're at 285, Bob. Trump's won the election. But we can't.
And you heard it here first on KCBQ, ladies and gentlemen.
And I am going to take Colorado, and I'm going to put it to the undecided column. New Mexico. Now here's an interesting thing. Mexico, Dem 43, Republican 35. Pretty bad. Tough to win there. Republicans not win there for a while. Trump is starting to do quite well there. Not going to give it to him, but I'm putting it to undecided.
Okay.
Now, poor old Hillary's down to 219 with that undecided. These may very well go Hillary there. Wisconsin, that my wife is in Wisconsin, I'd love to make a strong case for Trump there. Priebus, Reince Priebus, is from Wisconsin, the head of the Republican Party.
Right.
But sadly, Paul Ryan is also from there as well. So,
yeah, Paul Ryan has been about as helpful as headache is helped by
He's actually hurt Donald Trump. Nope. He has hurt Donald Trump.
I think he's behaved abominably.
Donald Trump more than any Democrat, because we expect attacks against the Republican nominee from the Democrats. And that's factored in to how much credence we give it. But when you have the head of the party talking about Trump and putting together quotes,
and calling
like
him a textbook case of
racism.
Yeah. And the Democrats take that clip and they make their own campaign commercials out of it.
So but it is Democrat 43 and Republican 42. That one is a possibility to go to Trump.
It'd be nice if it went to Trump despite Paul.
I give it better than 50%. And that if you do that, then all of a sudden you're into 295. So there we have it.
Okay.
And I could easily rationalize going to just a little over 300.
All right. Well, we'll let you rationalize a little more over one more segment when we return. This is Bob Siegel. Buying or selling a home? Feeling overwhelmed? Facing what seems like unlimited choices? Believe me, your first and most important step is to find the right person to represent you and look out for your interests. Somebody who will help you save money while buying or make money for you when you sell. So listen carefully as I offer the best advice you're ever going to hear. What you want to do is contact Realty Executives All Area, and you want to ask for my good friend Fred Falduti. Fred has managed literally hundreds of real estate transactions in the San Diego area and has handled just about any scenario you can imagine. Believe me, folks, you don't want to navigate the landmines of this economy without a skilled and experienced guide. But Fred is so much more. He will look after your interests as if they were his own. Give him a call or contact him online, Fred Falduti, with Realty Executives All Area, 619-401-2150. That's 619-401-2150 or fredfalduti.com.
Bob Siegel's new fantasy novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, is now available on Kindle, Nook, and in print copy. Check out some of the wonderful customer reviews on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Wow, what an incredible story. Well written, believable characters. The story takes twists and turns that keep surprising the reader. Although it is written from the perspective of a preteen, it is most appealing to an adult. Takes one back to those feelings and longing for adventure. I can't wait for the sequel. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
It is probably the most critical election in America's history coming up in just a little more than a week. It's a real battle for the soul of America. We have flawed candidates, but if you looked at their policies are different as night and day, even if perhaps you don't like either personality. Here, feeling much more optimistic and actually even calling it for Trump, my good friend Mike Friedenberg.
Okay. So I have called it for Trump. And I've even factored in the fact that I think there's a very good chance there could be another last minute.
I was going to say, they're going to pull out the stops and come up with something else.
Right.
Maybe somebody think from a minor this time. I know they're going to try something like that.
Yeah. So basically, a few more women coming forward, alleging that Trump, you know, some sexual misconduct.
Or they'll come up with something creative.
Is like not
he
going
had
to do
sex
it.
With a lizard or
it's
something.
It's not going to change the momentum. So it'd have to be something very big. But I
what
will
about
say this.
Election fraud, though? There's been a lot of concern expressed even by Trump. We've got dead people voting. We've got states that won't allow you to ask for voter ID. We have states like California where they'll give a driver's license to an illegal immigrant. So what do you think? What kind of factor do you think a fraudulent election could play to upset?
The potential is very large there without voter ID. But I personally am not all that concerned about it unless we have a really couple of close states that swing the election such that, and we can see that.
That could make the difference in a close one, but you're saying if Trump wins by a landslide
it's not
blowout, then even the fraudulent
right.
elements won't matter.
That's not enough. There's not enough. We hear about these theories all the time. For example, hey, if the Democrats all switch and vote for the Republican candidates the weakest, they can help influence the election, open primaries. We've heard things like that before, and it's very hard to organize. I mean, it is even for a very effective, you know, powerful political machine like the Clinton machine.
Although
it's hard
I think
to do.
The media walked into that, they were kind of coddling Trump in the primary, hoping, I believe, that he would run against Hillary, so they could turn on him.
Let's address this false narrative because I've heard even some Republicans that are sort of kind of closet never Trumpers saying, "Well, Trump was happy with all the media attention in the primary, and now he's complaining about it."
Of course he's complaining. They're treating him completely differently
now.
Actually,
they weren't treating him all that nicely. They were giving him coverage. There was plenty of negative coverage, but basically what the media, and this has always been the case, the media is always willing to cover Republicans trashing each other. That's what the primary was about, to Republicans trashing each other. Right, Bob?
Right, yeah.
So the media were covering it. So
yeah,
it's very consistent.
Good point.
So the narrative is, the media was covering the Republicans and giving Trump coverage because
hearing a lot of Democratic pundits saying, we just hope Trump gets this nomination.
Of course.
Because Hillary will. I never felt that way. I've gone back and forth as I've seen Trump shoot himself in the foot. But I did feel from the beginning, and I said this, that if he got the nomination, unlike a lot of our recent Republican candidates, he would fight. And that he has done. He has actually been willing to fight the Clinton machine and take it full head on. A lot of the other Republicans have been too wussy to do that.
Oh, he's also been willing to fight the narrative that all Republicans are racist, homophobic, misogynist.
When he goes into African-American neighborhoods and says, you've tried the Democrats all these years, what do you have to lose? Who else has had the brass to go in and say that? And you know what? It just makes so much sense.
No, he has more than any other individual in the last 20 years, given political correctness a bit of a setback. And by no means is political correctness defeated, but he's exposed it. He's been so, we've gotten used to Republican candidates that curl up into a fetal position when they're accused of stuff. Having somebody that doesn't do that has been refreshing, but it's also, people are so used to it that they've been uncomfortable with
it. It's been a problem. It's been a double-edged sword,
yes.
but it has been refreshing.
So for those Republicans out there, and if you're out there and you're still having any doubts, I mean, there is some Trump characteristics that are understandably not all that admirable. I personally believe that he probably does talk about women in a way that's not as respectful as I would like. I will say that.
Well, we don't just believe that. We've heard him on tape
doing
that.
We've seen it. And that was, you know, that was a bit of it. That video is a bit old, but you know, but let's, I was just talking to my good friend, Steve Baldwin, this afternoon, and he's a former assemblyman for the 77th.
Yeah, he was a guest on our show a couple of months ago.
And Steve is very politically astute, very connected. And he wrote an article on barbedwire.com, which very comprehensively explains just the damage that a Hillary presidency will do. If you go to Google, put in barbedwire.com or barbedwire, and you put in Steve Baldwin, you will find this article. And it's well worth reading if you have any doubts as to why you, at the minimum, if you're not voting for Trump, and by the way, I am voting for Trump, but if you can't get yourself to vote for Trump,
at least don't vote for Hillary.
Vote against Hillary and vote for Donald Trump as a vote against Hillary. That's the most effective way to vote against Hillary is to vote for Donald Trump.
Just tell yourself, just close your eyes and tell yourself that you're voting for Hillary.
And then that's, and I'm going to say that that's, and the, and talking with Steve, he also pointed out that Trump has surrounded himself with solid conservative people.
If he were to put Rudy Giuliani in as attorney general, which I think is a very good idea, even something like that.
If Rudy Giuliani wanted to off all that stress at his time.
Attorney General, can you imagine?
I mean, Rudy Giuliani he would obviously be great. He's still very sharp,
you know,
very good.
Trump only did one or two of the things he's promising to do.
Correct.
If appointing the next Supreme Court justice was the only thing, it would be worth it right there. And yet there could be all kinds of things he ends up doing.
Yep. And, you know, he's no Kellyanne Conway, which I'm going to say, by the way, has done as good a job you can do with a candidate that's a maverick like Donald Trump.
She reined him in as good as anybody possibly could.
And people, you know, she's done a fabulous job. I'm going to give some kudos. Well, Steve's known her for years. In fact, before she was Kellyanne Conway, I think maybe she was Kellyanne Fitzpatrick or something like that.
Or Kellyanne McMuffin, maybe.
Yeah, maybe not McMuffin. And she's very solid. So he's got himself surrounded by some very solid people, with people that advise him. Newt Gingrich, you know, certainly an eloquent person who understands. And what's
that
been
was quite about that Newt Gingrich had with Megyn Kelly last week.
It was very interesting. But, you know, the thing is that if those have any doubts about it, watch the whole segment and you will see that from the very beginning, she's hostile to Newt Gingrich because Newt Gingrich dares to challenge the false media narrative that the election was over. And once he started challenging that, she was in his face. And then she went ahead and used the term sexual predator, which understandably,
is unfair because that has not been proven.
Well, and
that would be a horrible thing if it was proven. But
some
of
these things, some of the things that are now in our feminist-dominated, politically correct culture that are classified as sexual predation are things like guys trying to pick up women at a nightclub and making a pass. I mean, things that you used to say use different terminology. You know, I don't use this terminology, but there's guys that would go around and chase skirt. Okay, did Donald Trump do that? Probably he did. I'm not going to say for sure, but it's a chance. So for her to use that very charged term, and then you think about poor old Newt Gingrich hearing this kind of stuff all day long, his temper was a bit short too as well.
Yeah, it was. And they seem to have gotten along before, so that was unfortunate. But anyway, Mike, I'm glad you're feeling so optimistic. I'm feeling more optimistic. I'm not ready to call it for Trump, but I am feeling more optimistic. We'll have you on in a few weeks, hopefully to have a celebration. If not, we'll be consoling each other over the air.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's been a lot of fun being on tonight.
It's been great having you. We'll see you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.